And so Jerry was called here, and then shortly after that, we accepted a call to come and serve as youth pastor. And this is Holly, and my daughter Summer is with us this morning as well. Where do I start? I'm glad that we traded notes earlier with David, because he had a couple of things I was going to talk about, but I'll let him do those. Probably some of the best things that I would say is Lane Prairie taught me a lot of things. There were a lot of firsts, especially with Brother Jerry. There was the first time to get stuck behind a septic truck that was leaking on the highway. And we stayed in that lane for a while. Couldn't figure out why it was stinking. There were times of having to educate Jerry on language the youth were using, or abbreviations. This is before texting really got popular. I won't mention any of those, but you're just going to be sorry out of luck on some of that. So, Jerry was great at teaching hospital visitation. If you need to know where a Coke machine is in the hospital district, that is your man. Not only that, he can tell you which ones are the coldest and which ones will eat your money. So there were times that we would go visit, and then we'd be going to a total different hospital. I'm like, what are we doing? We got to go get a Diet Coke. There was the time that the youth taught me some things, and that was code words. And teenagers have language, code words for adult topics and other stuff. Justin, Katie, I'll let you explain some of those. But there was one particular time that one of these code words was coffee. And during Vacation Bible School, you know, it's all hands on deck. I was in the balcony running the media, and Katie presented to me that morning a coffee book. And then Jerry gets up and talks about the missionary story. And that morning it happened to be from Colombia. And you know what Colombia is famous for? Their coffee. Y'all ask Katie and Justin what coffee is later. Sorry, I had to do that. And then there's always, Justin said I had to mention this morning, but there was the time that time flew in church. And Jerry is giving a demonstration, pretending like he is David, chopping off Goliath's head, and his watch went flying through the air about three rows back. But, you know, Jerry's very special to me. And I talked about hospital visits and things like that. That continues even when you're not here. As a church member, you have someone very special that cares about you that will go nonstop. You know, if you're going to the hospital and it's 11 o'clock at night, Jerry's probably going to beat you there. And that continues, that continued to me, to my family. I appreciate you. Love you. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. And then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me, and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart." I don't think either one of us thought that you'd still be here in 20 years as pastor. I think it's just a testament to you and to this church, how special you are. But, you know, for Lane Prairie, God had a plan. And for Jerry, God had a plan. So I love you. Thank you.
Good morning. How are you guys? Great. Spent lots of time with Paul. I got to learn the ropes about Lane Prairie and about Brother Jerry after I got here. glad he told me after I got here. You may not know this. Some of you have heard. Oh, by the way, I'm David Couch. I was the youth minister here from 2003-ish to about 2006, 2007. So I was here, I call it 4 years with the windchill factor. And it was a great experience. And I'm going to tell just a quick story you may not know about. When I was being courted to work here at Lane Prairie, Brother Jerry, I guess, had gotten my resume somewhere, and he called me on my cell phone, and I was surprised to hear that. And he, instead of trying to recruit me to come to work, he offered to come play racquetball with me at the seminary. I was a young seminary student, and so I was really wanting to impress him, and he wore me out on that racquetball court. I'm going to let you know. I mean, I have a degree in kinesiology, and I thought I was pretty athletic, but he wore me out, and I was wearing his glasses because I didn't have the equipment, and so he went without. And that was a bad move on his part. You may not know this, but I accidentally hit him in the eye with the racquetball and gave him a shiner. Do you remember that? And it was an accident. And then the following Sunday, I was incognito visiting the church. I was just kind of hanging out. They all didn't know I was here. But he still had that shiner. And I thought that may have been my last Sunday, but he showed a lot of grace to me. And you know, as I should have known, but he showed a lot of grace, and he taught me a lot of things in ministry. And Paul, I think you can attest to this as well, and Brian as well. I think through Scripture, and of course, when Paul is training Titus, he says this in 2:6-8. He says, "Encourage the young men to be self-controlled in everything. Make yourself an example of good works with integrity and dignity in your teaching. Your message is to be sound beyond reproach, so that any opponent will be ashamed because he does not have anything bad to say about us." And you know, I learned a lot about several of those things. One was sound teaching. I can remember sitting in his office many, many weeks not having my scriptures memorized as a staff member. And he held me accountable to those. And I still remember those. And I'm very grateful for him. I can remember, and I don't know if y'all do this still, but I remember early on Sunday mornings, Brother Jerry and I and staff, and I think, Brian, you were a part of this, we would be on our knees in prayer, sweet times of prayer, before anybody walked on this campus. That was a long drive from the seminary, but it taught me some very important things about ministry. You know, I learned a lot about integrity. He taught me a lot about how to, there are rules to ministry. There are things you do and you don't do. I learned a lot about what not to do. Thank you for your blessings. But he taught me a lot about ministry, what to do and what not to do. And he showed a lot of grace whenever he taught that. And one of those is putting people first. And then one I still prize and I still think is very important, and that's to put your marriage, and keep your ministry and your marriage protected. And so, Brother Jerry, thank you for doing that. And then the last thing I learned from him was endurance. And I think we're seeing that today. 20 years of ministry here at this church demonstrates endurance. And I can attest with Paul and Brian, I know a lot of hospital visits. Matter of fact, there was one Sunday morning, and I'll finish with this. I was in my office, and he came to me early before church started. And he said, "By the way, David, you're preaching the sermon this morning." He said, "I've got to go make a hospital visit." And it was a Sunday morning. Now, obviously, it was somebody very important. I didn't have a sermon ready. I sat right here. I don't think I've sweated so much in my life. I've been so nervous in my life. And he was serious. I could not believe him. I was trying to put together a Sunday morning sermon while doing youth ministry. And sure enough, I think, Brian, you were here. You had just finished up the last song, and he comes walking in that door and just winked at me as if he knew all along he would be there. That was not funny. Not funny. So, Brother Jerry, I want to thank you for your ministry to this church. Thank you for training up leaders in ministry. I think you are doing an incredible job. We're grateful for you. Okay.
Well, I'm going to hold a mic in my hand because, as you can hear, I don't have much voice. My stories about Jerry are very similar to Paul's. There were a lot of firsts for me here because you all were brave enough to take me on as this being the very first church I served. So there were a lot of firsts here, a lot of first hospital visits. But one thing that I appreciate about Jerry is Jerry knew I was new. Jerry knew that I was lacked experience. He sat in the meetings that we had with the search committee. I mean, y'all knew what you were getting, but yet you took me in at first and then my wife in when she joined us a year later and loved on us. And it was the same thing with Jerry. He knew I was new, but he was very patient. And surprisingly, he gave me a very long leash. And there was a lot of things that we were able to do here. These screens, the piano. I didn't know what I was doing, you guys. I mean, I was just taking a shot in the dark here. But Jerry put faith in me, and I appreciate that because not a lot of pastors, knowing that they had a minister on their staff that had no experience whatsoever, would trust me to do something like that. So that's one thing I appreciate about Jerry. But one thing I appreciate the most about Jerry, Kara and I have been gone 10 years now. And we spent 8 of those years in Amarillo. We were here from 06 to 09. I remember I was supposed to say that now. Sorry. And we spent 8 of those years in Amarillo. We spent the last year and a half in Enid, Oklahoma. And the man that has been my pastor since I've been gone has been this man. Every couple of weeks, I get a text. Every couple of months, a phone call. No agenda. He just wants to see how I'm doing. And that means a lot to me. That means a lot to me, Jerry. So we're just thankful for the opportunity to be back with you all. Again, thankful to be here to celebrate this. And God bless you, sir.
And then comes a storm. Okay. Yeah. Dearly beloved, we are here today to celebrate the memory of Jerry. I'm sorry. That's the other one you told me to get, Andrea, right? No, we won't do that one today. I'm sorry. I was preparing last week for something else. You know? Now, y'all, my earliest memory, and this is dangerous, of my brother Jerry. Where's Brother Edgar? There you go. You'll remember this. Jerry used to work at a motel in downtown Brownsville in an elevator. The old kind that had, some of you will know this, the younger ones won't, but it had the little chain deal, and he would let people off on floors and help them. And he did that in order to come home and pay us. I got an entire quarter to do his chores at home. And then I was told not to spend it all in one place. My brother Jerry, you know. Now, as I was talking with some of the staff members, they said, so that's where he learned that stuff. They were saying something else out in the hallway. But y'all, I have been honored to be Jerry's brother. Of course, I am the much younger one, okay? But I was sitting in the motel the other day. We were supposed to hide from him when we got here. And I was scared he would show up at some place. Then he told me he doesn't get out anymore. I don't believe that, you know. But as I was sitting there, there is a scripture that came to mind. And when I think of Jerry's ministry and when I think of how his ministry, and I mean this wholeheartedly, will continue. Okay? This is not the last day, y'all. All right? And this scripture came to mind. I want to read it to you. He said, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partakers of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us, called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus." That's 2 Timothy, the first chapter. I believe that describes my much older brother to a T. And in case y'all didn't know, unless you actually have a Jewish lineage, you're Gentiles. And he was sent here to proclaim that sound word to you. You're not cutting me off yet. Be calm. I know they had this all planned. But I want you to know. Stop. So help me, if you get up, I'm going to tell him what coffee means. Terry and I can say this wholeheartedly, are honored to be here today because we love our brother. And I know he loves us. And that bond will never cease. Okay? Jerry, my wife told me before I got here, keep it encouraging. And I'm going to keep it that way. But brother, I love you.
Changes us. changes what we see and what we see. It changes.
Okay, I'm up. Glad that lunch is already here, so you don't have to go get it. We can go for a while, right? No. I'm going to start a sermon. I'll finish it next week, but I'll encourage you to be here next week for it to be finished. But I'm humbled today to be able to come and stand in this pulpit. It is my high privilege every Sunday to stand behind this sacred desk and to preach the infallible and errant word of God, that I'm thankful that I had parents that taught me to stand on the word of God. And we still stand on that word. We do not compromise it. We do not water it down. We're not going to start now. And God's going to continue to use us here. I've got a few more years in me, I think, Lord willing. And I hope I'll be able to remain faithful to the very end. And I want to thank all these staff members who have taken time out of their busy schedules to come back and be here today means a lot to me. You know, each of these guys, they did serve under the under me, and sometimes I know it was rather trying, and sometimes they were a little nervous in staff meeting, especially if they did not have their verse memorized for the week. As y'all know, I'm big on scripture memory, and I challenged them to do that, and I'm thankful that I did, and I continue to want to challenge people to memorize the Word of God. Amen. I appreciate my brother and sister being here today. It means a lot to me for them to be here. They are both younger than me. My older brother, I have an older brother, Gary, and he at his next birthday is going to be 70. And I just turned 67. And then right after that, every 4 years, my parents had a kid, okay? I don't know how it worked out that way, but every 4 years. Terry is 4 years younger than me, and Toby is 4 years younger than her. Then we have a young brother, Tommy, who's pastor of Second Baptist Church, Baytown. He's 4 years younger than Toby. And so we all have either even or odd birthdays, and Toby is the one that starts it off, the odd one that starts it off, okay? So, but I appreciate the words that were shared today. I'm humbled by those words. And I want to thank Lane Prairie Baptist Church. Thank you for the opportunity that I had. I was serving at Boyd Baptist Church in Bonham. I'd been there 8.5 years. We had just built a new sanctuary there. We seat about 500 people, and God was blessing our church there. And Roy G. called me up. I wasn't looking to change churches. I never have been one that's one of these mass resume people. But Roy G. called me up and said, "Hey, Brother Jerry, I just wanted you to know that Lane Prairie Baptist is looking for a pastor. Would you consider sending your resume?" And I told Brother Roy, as I told anybody that ever did that for me, I said, "Well, I'll have to pray about it," because things were going good. We enjoyed Bonham. Katie, as y'all know, she came here and met Justin. Everything worked out good, but she was a junior in high school. So that was a hard decision for us, by the way. And it was a hard decision to come here. And Andrea was working full time at the prison there. She was a counselor at the prison. So in order for us to come, she had to quit her job. And I had to come here. And I was at a bigger church than this church at that time. And but God had a plan. And I'll never forget, I went to the evangelism conference at Fort Worth. It was in downtown Fort Worth at the Tarrant County Convention Center. And I was struggling over a decision. What does God want me to do? And it was at that conference that God said he wanted me to come to Lane Prairie Baptist Church. And I heard as if his voice, I mean, I've never heard an audible voice of God, but his spirit speaks in my spirit. And he told me that this is where he wanted me to be. And I'm thankful that I had the opportunity to come back to Joshua. By the way, this is not my first time here. I was at First Baptist Joshua from 1975 to 1983, many people that come to our church here, I've known now for 44 years. That's a long time, 44 years. I was 22 years old when I arrived at First Baptist Church, Joshua. Chrissy, our oldest daughter, was 6 months old then. And I'm not going to tell you how old she is now, but anyway, I'm going to stay in good graces. I'm glad to have all three of my children here today. And our grandkids are here today. They sang earlier, some of my grandkids. But God was calling us back to Joshua. Joshua's always had a special place in our heart. The people here are so loving and caring. And you have encouraged me through the years. You prayed for me. You have prayed me through cancer. You prayed me through several surgeries. You prayed me through immune therapy that I take every 3 weeks, through about a hospital stays that I just got out of the hospital just about 2 weeks ago. And you prayed me through all of that. And I'll tell you what, without the prayers of this church, I wouldn't be here today. And I want to thank the church for your prayers. I want to thank you for your support, your encouragement. And I don't know how many of you have come to me on many occasions and said, Brother Jerry, we pray for you every single day. And by the way, I do not take that lightly. That is very, very important to me. I feel the prayers. I know God's leading here at Lane Prairie, and he's not through yet. Amen. We still got work to do. We still got work to do in this place. There's still people who need the Lord in this time. If you have a copy of the scripture, I want you to go to 2 Timothy. It's amazing. And my brother read from 2 Timothy. That's where I was going to be this morning. 2 Timothy. Now, as you know, the Apostle Paul, this is his last inspired writing. It's right before his death that he writes this book. He's in Rome, and he's facing certain death. And he writes to Timothy. Timothy is 30 years younger than him. And he writes to him, and he's trying to challenge him to go on with God. He's trying to challenge him. He said, listen, Timothy, this isn't the time to be timid. This isn't the time to shrink back. This is the time to go forward. And I'm going to tell you, church, I believe today that this time, more than any other time, it's time for the church to stand up and to go forward. It's time for us to be counted in the kingdom of God and to be busy about the work. Remember at the first year, I preached on the reaching the goal and how that we got to reach towards the goal. We got to forget those things which are behind, and we got to reach forth unto the goal, and we got to press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And we look there at how what God's goal for us is that we would be Christ-like. That's what his goal for all of us. And if we're going to reach that goal, it calls for total commitment of our life, not partial commitment. Jesus never called his disciples to follow him when it was convenient. He says, if any man will come after me, in Luke 9:23, he says, let him take up his, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. So he's called us to total commitment. And here in 2 Timothy, we're going to see that Paul challenges young Timothy to continue in the faith. In chapter 1, verse 5, he says, I want you to remember the faith that was, that pure faith that was in your grandmother and in your mother, in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. He says, I'm persuaded that's in you. He says, remember the faith. And then he says, I want you to rekindle the fire. Look at verse 6, he says, there in chapter 1. He says, wherefore I put thee to remembrance that thy stir up the gift of God which is in on thee by the putting on of my hands. God has given us the gift of the Holy Spirit, and that gift is given to us that we might be empowered. And the Holy Spirit is the one who gives us gifts that we might use them in the body to glorify and edify the body of Christ. He says, I want you to refuse your fears. There in verse 7, he says, for God had not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. He keeps trying to challenge him. He says, hey, by the way, you not only must not, you got to refuse your fears. God's given you the power, the dunamis power, the love, the agape love, and the discipline that you need to go on by faith, young Timothy. And he says, you got to receive your suffering. You got to understand that you're going to suffer if you serve the Lord, if you decide you're going to follow after God. And let me tell you what, it's not a picnic in the park. You enter into the arena of a battle that's going on between those who are followers of Christ and those who are followers of Satan. Satan and all of his demons want to destroy. They want to kill, steal, and destroy every one of us that are here today. But praise God that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And we can walk in power, but just like Toby read those verses earlier, he's reminding him to remember your calling. God's the one that saved us. He's the one that's called us according not to our purpose, but his purpose. And thank God he's abolished death and has brought life and immortality. And then he says, I want you to realize the duty that you have. By the way, not everybody's a preacher, but I'm going to tell you what, everybody in this room are called. You're called to serve God. You're called to be an ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says that we're to be ambassadors for Christ.
We're Christ's representatives here on this earth, and we must understand that. And we must rely on the security that we have, that we know something. What do we know? That he that began a good work in us is going to complete it. Philippians 1:6 tells us that. But he says, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he, that is the Lord, is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. And then in chapter 2, look at chapter 2. He says, I want you to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Okay? And then he uses four analogies. And these four analogies are things that you and I can identify with. He uses that of a teacher. He says, you know what? If you're a teacher, when I think about a teacher, I think about someone who's dedicated. We have teachers, a lot of school teachers in our church, and I'm thankful for our school teachers that stand for Christ, but you know what? They're dedicated. I have two daughters that are school teachers. My wife's a retired school teacher. They're dedicated to the work that God's given them. But he says we're to commit. Notice what he says there in chapter 2, verse 2, and the things that thou hast heard among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, that they shall be able to teach others also. What are we to be about? Let me tell you what, church, what we're to be about. We're to be about discipling other people, pouring our life into other people that they may go forth and be used of God. It's exciting to me. I don't know about you. It's exciting to me to see our former staff members come by back, and I see how God's using them in a wonderful way. God's using them in a great way. Brother Brian's being used. It's always a joy to talk with him. He's at a big church now in Enoch, Oklahoma. You know, those people in Oklahoma need saved more than the people in Texas, you know. But he's up there in Oklahoma, and God's using him mightily there. And I'll tell you what, that just excites me. God's using Brother Paul. Brother Paul's being used to help churches and sound and different types of ministry now that he's doing in that way. And by the way, Paul is the brother of John. And I don't, is John here today? I don't know if he's here. Is John? Oh, he's over there. Okay. But I just want to go ahead and throw that out to Paul. Paul is the better of the two brothers, but I won't mention that. Don't tell John I said that. But I don't know how many times I've called on Brother David since he's left here, saying, Brother David, I need you to help me. He's a wonderful counselor, by the way. God's gifted Brother David in that area. And I don't know how many people I've referred to Brother David and asked for advice from Brother David. And he gives me that advice, and he encourages me, and I thank God. It's exciting to see how God's used my brother and my sister and all these different people. I've used my son-in-laws, Justin and Rodney, as they serve God. And I tell you what, I'm thankful, but we got to be dedicated. But then he used the illustration of a soldier. What does a soldier do? Well, I'm going to tell you, a soldier is determined. He's determined. Notice what it says in verse 3. Thou therefore endure the hardship as a soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember what I told you? When you come to Christ, don't let anybody tell you that everything's going to be easy. Jesus himself said in John 16:33, in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. And when I think of a soldier, I think of a determination. You're enduring hardness as a soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're to be following the commander-in-chief, okay? And that is our Lord. And then he uses an illustration of an athlete. If you're running in a race, if you strive, you're going to strive for mastery, but you got to follow the rules. We're running the race of our life. And when I think of an athlete, I think of discipline. Boy, a disciplined athlete accomplishes much. But it takes work and work and more work. And many of you have seen those athletes that have worked to go to the Olympics and how they accomplish great things, but they give themselves totally over to that. I wish we'd have more believers that would diligently give themselves over to serving God and say, you know, I'm going to do whatever it takes to follow after God. And he used that of a farmer. And I think of a farmer, I think of diligence. They got to not give up. They got to plant the seed. They got to water the seed. They got to cultivate the seed. And thank God he brings the harvest. But then, you know, you think about it. What I want to talk about, and I know my time's almost up, but I'm just going to mention a couple things. I'm going to finish this next Sunday. But then what Paul does is he switches and he says, you know what? We can look at that teacher. We can look at that soldier. We can look at that athlete. We can look at that farmer and think of what they do. But he says, what is that which motivates us? By the way, what is that that motivates those, us who know Christ? What motivates us? What keeps us going when things get tough? What keeps us going when we want to just throw in the towel? And anybody that's been a part of ministry, I guarantee you there's been more than one Monday morning that they said, hey, you know what, I think I'm going to check it out. It's time for me to check it out. But you know what? God didn't call us to check it out. He called us to keep going. But what does he say here? Look at what he says here. In verse 8 of chapter 2, he says, remember that Jesus Christ, the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel. What does he say? He says, I want you to remember Jesus Christ. By the way, every time you want to throw in the towel, what motivates us is Jesus. Who is the one that was the greatest teacher? Jesus. Who is the one that ran the greatest race? Jesus. Who is the one that was the greatest athlete? Jesus. Who is the one that was the greatest soldier that followed the Father's will even in the Garden of Gethsemane when he's facing death? He says, not my will, but may your will be done, Father. Who was the greatest farmer who cultivated and planted seed and saw many come to Christ? It was Jesus Christ. He is our example, and he's the motive that we have, church. That's what keeps us going. We ought to remember Jesus. Every time we get up in the morning, we ought to remember Jesus, what he did for us and how he came, how he died, how he rose from the grave, and how he's coming again. And every time we remember Jesus, that keeps us going on in the race. That keeps us not giving up. That's our motivation. We ought to remember him. How do we remember him? Well, you think about it. Jesus passed the glory was marked by pain before pleasure. It was marked by sorrow before joy. It was marked by humiliation before glorification, persecution before exaltation, death before resurrection, earthly hatred before heavenly worship. That was the part of Jesus' life. But he says here, we must remember. And by the way, this is the imperative form in the Greek language. It's the command. He says, you must remember Jesus Christ. How do we remember him? Well, it says here he was a descendant of David. We remember his humanity. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It says in verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten Son of God, full of grace and truth. And as his humanity, by the way, he identifies with you and I. According to Hebrews chapter 4, Brother Ricky preached on this recently. He is not a high priest that is not touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He is touched. He hurts when you hurt. He cares when you care. He knows what you're going through. And we're to remember his humanity. He was willing, catch this, to take off that praise of heaven, the praise of the glory of heaven, the praise of angels, and come down and take on human flesh that he might dwell among us, that he might be the perfect sacrifice that we could have eternal life. You got to remember him. Revelation puts it this way. He is the root and offspring of David, the bright and morning star. That was no ordinary baby in a manger. And when you remember Jesus, you remember his humanity, that he was willing to come and identify with you and I, that ought to motivate us, folks. Not to say, hey, I want to keep going, but not only remember that, notice what it says here, we're to remember that Jesus Christ, the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to, notice what Paul puts it, my gospel. By the way, when does it become my gospel? When you experience Jesus. Whenever you get saved, whenever you get that point where you understand that the greatest thing you need is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You do not need religion. You do not need to be baptized again. And though baptism comes after we're genuinely saved, I'm going to tell you what, it's not by works, it's by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But we got to understand that we need to remember him. Remember his death on the cross. See, because of his death, you and I can have life. Then because of his resurrection, we have victory just like he did. We have victory over death, over sin, over the devil, over any circumstance in our life. You and I can be victorious because we're to remember Jesus Christ. Boy, that's a battle cry that all of us ought to have every day as a believer. We ought to remember his humanity, his death. Remember how Paul put it in 1 Corinthians 15? He says how he was buried according to the scripture and how he was raised on the third day according to the scripture. I like 1 Corinthians 15, the great resurrection chapter, because he says there in verse 19, if in this life only you have hope, you're of all people most miserable. Let me tell you what, I'm thankful that I don't just have hope in this life. I have hope and there's a life after this life. And by the way, you can have that same hope. Today, you can experience Jesus today. Why is it that 120 nobodies in an upper room in Acts chapter 1, according to Acts 17:6, they turned their world upside down? You know why I think it was? Is they had met the Lord. They had experienced the Lord. They had come in contact with the Lord, and he forever changed their life, and they never forgot that. And by the way, if God changed your life, you'll never forget it. Amen? You're never the same. And we ought to remember what he's done for us. We ought to remember those great apostles, those great followers of Christ, Peter and Philip and Stephen. As you read the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, each of them had remembered who Jesus was, and that's the reason God used them. And by the way, these people were not perfect people. Peter denied the Lord 3 times, but the Lord restored him, thank God. Philip was a deacon that went down to Gaza, down there to the place where the Ethiopian eunuch was, and he began to tear with him about Jesus. Stephen, the first martyr who saw the Lord, he didn't see him seated at the right hand of the throne of God. He saw him standing in approval of his life. It's not our motive, by the way, for sacrificial service is Jesus Christ. When we remember what he did for us at Calvary, when we remember the fact that he rose from the grave, and we remember the fact that he's coming again, folks, that's what keeps us going. And that's the reason 1 Corinthians 15, it says, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, we got to remember Jesus. And when we remember him, that's what's going to keep us motivated. By the grace of God, God's allowed me to be here for 20 years. It is unusual for a pastor to be at a church for 20 years because most of the time they go through trials, things get too difficult, and they say, well, it's the grass is greener on the other side of the fence. But they discover that it's not greener on the other side of the fence. But I want to tell you something. What keeps me going every day? What keeps me going every day is Jesus Christ. So I'm going to tell you something. People will disappoint us. People will disappoint you. And there'll be times that you'll want to give up. But this isn't a time to give up. It's time to look up and find strength in him. Because, see, what is our motivation? We remember to remember Jesus. And he goes on and says, hey, we ought to not only remember Jesus, we ought to remember the power of the word. He says the word is unfettered. He said, even though he contrasted himself, even though I'm in prison, God's word is not bound. Are you glad? Let it loose. You know, we don't have to defend the word. The word will defend itself. It stood the test of time, by the way. And we stay in the word and we stand on the word and we hear it and we read it and we study it and we memorize it and we meditate on it. We'll have a five-finger hold on God's word, and the devil can't take it away from us, and we can stand on the power of the word of God because it is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Back in that day, and I close with this, back in the day, in Rome, in the city of Rome, they had over 600 miles of catacombs that were dug by some 10 generations of Christians. Think about that just a minute. And a lot of those, that's where the place that the meeting place was for Christians, because they were under persecution. We don't understand that in Texas, or we don't understand that in the Bible Belt, under persecution, what's that? But these folks were under persecution, and it was a meeting and burial place for as many as 4 million Christians, by the way. And the common inscription on the walls down there in those catacombs was, "The word of God is not bound." And they stayed by the word. Lane Prairie, I want to challenge us this morning and the years ahead that we stay by this word right here. Any church that stays by the word of God, God's going to bless. Any church that turns aside from the word of God, God will close up. We got to stay on the word of God. And we got to remember what Jesus did. That's what motivates us. As we serve God, as we follow him. For some here today, you've never given your life to Christ. Maybe you thought about it. Maybe the Holy Spirit's here this morning. We felt his power here this morning. As they sang earlier, let the Holy Spirit speak, and he has spoke. There's some here today, God's drawing you. He's drawing you to Christ. He wants you to have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And you've thought about it many a time, and today is the day of salvation. In a moment, we're going to have staff members come stand up here, and we want you to come take one of those staff members by the hand and say, today I need Jesus. I want to have a relationship with him. I don't want to know him in just my head. I want to know him in my heart. I want to have that personal relationship. We invite you to come today, and we'll sit down with you and share with you right here on these front chairs how you can accept Christ into your life, how you can become a believer, a Christian today, and how he'll forgive you of every sin that you've committed up to today, and he'll give you a brand new start. That's available to you today. Others here today, you've been visiting our church and coming for a while. God's led you to Lane Prairie Baptist Church. And we want to invite you to come join this morning and be a part of this fellowship. We're not a perfect fellowship. We're made of imperfect people. But I'm going to tell you this much. This group of people will pray for you. They'll support you. They'll hold you up. They'll encourage you in the days ahead. And this is a church. We are the family of God at Lane Prairie Baptist. If you want to be a part of a family of God, come and join us this morning. Maybe today you're dealing with something in your life that's difficult. I'm going to encourage you to turn it over to the Lord. Remember Jesus. Remember what he did for you. Don't ever forget it as you serve him in this place. Let's stand together. Father, I thank you for your word today. I thank you for this time that you've given us. And we'd be remiss today if we didn't give people an opportunity to come to Jesus. I believe there's some people here that need that. They need